Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my co-host, Joe Truini, and I hope you are as ready as we are to talk about home improvement, because we have the latest, the most practical and realistic home improvement information you're going to find anywhere, and I guarantee you're going to have a little bit of fun along the way. Now, some of the things we're going to talk about on this first hour is flake board. Some flake board is failing in a kitchen, and of course, when you think about that, first thing I think about is cornflakes, but that's not exactly what it is it, Joe?
No, not exactly, but I had a feeling you were going to go either cornflakes or bran flakes, but it's an appropriate name, flake board, because it often flakes off, which is part of the problem. I don't think that's what they intended. Mm-hmm. And if you're not familiar with flake board, it's basically particle board. It goes by different names. Flake board, when it first came out, was actually different than particle board, but these days, I think oriented strand board, OSB, has replaced all the original flake board. So now particle board has taken over that moniker.
But it doesn't work really, really well when it's around a dishwasher. We're going to help a homeowner out in trying to save a countertop. Also, there's so many people these days have built fire pits. And even though we're headed into the warmer time of the year, still not a bad idea. We'll give you some tips on how to build a fire pit in your home. Also, I'll tell you something else has been done, Joe. I'll tell you, hearing so many statistics through the pandemic about people doing things at their home, some of the top projects that they've done is replacing or building a wood fence. And, you know, of course, you've got a lot of different woods that you can use, a lot of different styles that you can use to build that fence. But we got a question coming in, kind of almost a debate about, do I stain it? Do I paint it? Do I seal it? Or do I leave it alone? So that's one that we get quite a bit. So we're going to tackle that in just a little bit. What about a simple solution, Joe? You always have a great simple solution for us.
Well, this time of year, a lot of people are pulling their garden tools out of the shed, out of the garage to use them, and finding they're all really rusted. So I have a really quick tip on using our favorite material, our favorite substance, white vinegar, to clean rust off of garden tools.
But you know what? If you take just a little bit of time right now and, sharpen those shovels. I did this the other day. I bought one of the mill type of files I hadn't had in a while. Put on some gloves and, a good bright light where I could really see the angle of that shovel. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. I mean, I know people, including myself, that have used shovels over and over and over for years, and it just seems harder than it used to be. Well, it is, because each time you use it, it's dulling it a little bit. And even when you buy one brand new, it's not very sharp, just from a liability standpoint and so forth. They don't want them, a real, real sharp edge on there. But when you're using it in your yard, yes, you do want that. And there's a lot of ways that you can get those tools ready. Great time of the year for that. So I look forward to that simple solution. Joe, we read a very funny letter last week from one of our great fans, and I guess it kind of sparked a few other people.
Is that painting?
Yeah,
the family painting project.
Was pulling one on him because she was such a poor painter to try to get out of painting. And we didn't render any judgment on that and everything, but it did create a couple other letters that came in. These both, actually, I want to share with you emails that came in about different electrical issues. So, and this makes me think, years ago we did a your funniest home improvement story contest, and man, did we get flooded with some really humorous things that came in. And I would like to encourage you, if you have a little funny story, it's okay if you pick on yourself or pick on your spouse a little bit in any kind of story like that. We would love for you to send it in to todayshomeowner.com/ask. Now, if we happen to read them, I would love to get more of these. If we happen to read it on the air, I'll send you a great Today's Homeowner brand new, really nice looking tumbler for your favorite hot or cold beverage. And so that's all you have to do. Just send in a funny story, and you might title the subject as funny story. But let me share one with you right now.
Okay.
Both of these stories could have turned out not to be funny, but fortunately they did. So here's one from Teresa that says, I have a story to tell you about a time where I almost electrocuted my husband, John, or or what I call him now, Sparky. So he was helping me with a new light fixture. And as we were putting in the new bulbs, one cracked right in half. Well, he grabbed a wrench and was trying to get it out unbeknownst to me. So I turned on the light switch to see how pretty the lights looked. Well, after a few colorful words, I frantically pushed it down and turned it off. Thank goodness Sparky is still around to tell this tale. So yeah, you got to be careful when you're doing that, because I know exactly what you're talking about. Broke the bulb, and she, you know, he wasn't paying attention that she was right. going to turn the switch back on. And so he's trying to, you know, take the little, you know, probably channel locks to try to work it off
pliers,
there.
Right?
And not a good thing. It seemed like we had a simple solution about that a while back, Joe, that
used a potato, I think. Wasn't
yeah,
that it?
Yeah, the potato. And I've heard
was
some
there
people,
something else.
Yeah, there was something else. I think it might have been duct tape, kind of wrapping it with duct tape and then utilizing that. So,
yeah. But, yeah, I forgot. Well, that was for the bulbs that were flush.
That's right.
Like sometimes
that's right.
under the hood of a range hood, sometimes they have these small LED bulbs and they're flush. And you don't unscrew them. I think you push them up and you turn
right.
them
yeah.
a quarter turn. And if you use duct tape, you make like a little flag, you know, like mm-hmm. a little T-shaped piece of duct tape. You stick it on it. And you can push up and turn that. But yeah, I think if a bulb, like an incandescent bulb or now an LED bulb, breaks off inside the socket, the tip is to take a potato
uh-huh.
of just the right
mm-hmm.
diameter, jam it up in there,
mm-hmm.
and then turn that. Doesn't have to do the potato any good, but it does work on getting the light bulb out.
I remember now how we did that. Another alternative on that, especially if you have like a ceiling fan that is kind of hard to get your hand up in there,
right.
is to take a water bottle, the water bottles that we all have now,
sure.
the drinking, you know, disposable bottles, and you take it and you take the cap off, and then you use a lighter and you heat up the threaded part of that at
right.
the mouth of that bottle. And then while it's still hot, you push it up into the socket. Then it cools down immediately and connects itself to the inside of that bulb threads. And then you're able to use that bottle because now you have, you know, 7 or 8 inches to handle, and you slowly can back that off. We did that one time on a broken ceiling fan bulb, and it worked really, really well.
And if the filament's not broken, you can just leave the bottle in place and it'll look beautiful.
I know.
Be the new bulb. Yeah, that'll be a nice look.
Chevy chic, as they call it there. Hey, here's another email I got a kick out of from Anne Marie. She said, a few years back, my sister and I were self-employed doing a project where we were stripping the paint off of baseboards on an old house. Now, I had arrived at the house first to get started. The homeowner was out of town, so I let myself in with the key that they had provided me. The baseboards were 8 inches high and the electrical outlets were built into them. I've seen that a lot.
I've seen that, yeah.
In the older houses. My stripping of the paint went very, very well until a small bit of the stripper actually seeped into the plug outlet, and suddenly the baseboard burst into flames.
Wow.
I immediately ran to the bathroom, grabbed a towel from the homeowner's shower, doused it with water, and smothered the fire with the wet towel. It took a few trips to the bathroom to complete my firefighting task. Now, I opened up the upstairs windows and began the daunting task of cleanup. Now, there was no real damage to the woodwork, and the flames had burned the paint off the baseboard, so the stripping job was made a lot easier as a result of that. When my sister arrived, all that was remained was trying to deplete the room with the odor of smoke. The job turned out great. The homeowners were pleased with the work, and they never knew of this incident that aged my heart a good 10 years.
Wow.
Can you imagine? You're there by yourself at this house, not your house. Suddenly things
house, right?
are, you know, bursting into flames, and you know, what do you do? Now, I'm not sure if I would have gone and taken a wet towel and
yeah.
threw it on a hot outlet, but
a hot electrical outlet
right.
using a wet
so
towel.
That's
yeah.
where maybe knowing where that fire extinguisher is at all times is always a good idea. And you know, we would encourage. I mean, things happen.
Sure.
You know, fires can happen on the stove. Fires can happen different ways. So maybe it's a good weekend to kind of do a little safety survey and make sure your fire extinguishers are charged up like they should. Make sure everybody in the family knows exactly where they are. And also, it still completely amazes me, Joe, how many homeowners have no idea how to turn their water off.
Right.
You know, to
yeah.
their house. And, you know, all of a sudden there's water and they're running around in circles going, where's the cutoff? Where's the cutoff? That's a good family drill that you
yeah.
Get your water cutoff key, designate it in a certain spot, say it always stays here. If you ever need it, let's go through it. Let me show you how to do it. It's like teaching someone how to change a tire on a car. You just get together, you do it, and then know it from that point on. As well as, you know, knowing how to turn the gas off and some of the other things like that. Extremely important to be able to know exactly what you're doing with that. Hey, we've got a lot of today's Homeowner Radio Show coming up for you. A lot of different ways that we're going to help you have the best looking house on the block. So we don't want you to go anywhere. We also have a few giveaways like we normally do. One that you can win an extremely cool project, especially if you have some ugly concrete steps or a patio that you want to revitalize. We've got some great ideas for you coming up. Remember, you can reach out to us 800-946-4420 or send us an email at any time. todayshomeowner.com/ask. I'm Danny Lipford along with my buddy Joe Truini, and you're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio.
Summer, it's almost here, but Memorial Day savings are already at the Home Depot. In-store, online, store-wide. Like 5 bags of Garden Fresh mulch for just $10. Save on everything from flower beds to a fresh coat of paint. From power tools to ceiling fans. Ready, set, summer. Memorial Day savings, here now. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Limit 75 bags per customer. Color selection varies by store. While supplies last, Continental U.S. only.
In older homes with old electrical wiring, the hazards you don't see may be the most dangerous ones. Loose wiring connections or damaged wires can cause arcing or sparks that may lead to a fire. The solution is an arc fault circuit interrupter, or AFCI. Leviton offers AFCI outlets and circuit breakers that detect hazardous arc faults and interrupt the power, reducing the likelihood of an electrical fire. Learn more at leviton.com/AFCI.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done. And by Quikrete Cement and Concrete Products. It's what America's made of.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. We are heard all over this great country on over 300 stations on some wonderful stations like this one, KATLAM 770 in Miles City, Montana. Special hello to General Manager Don Richards. We certainly appreciate you airing the Today's Homeowner Television Show. Joe, we've gotten so many different emails and calls coming in. I want to remind everybody again, 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner Hotline. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, your opportunity to leave us a comment, any question that you might have. And again, as I mentioned at the start of the show, we would encourage you to send in any little funny home improvement story that happened to you. It's kind of nice to occasionally read one of these where people are saying, okay, I messed up. It's funny now. It wasn't funny at the moment. So we love to get those, and you can send those to us at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, let's go to Pennsylvania. Barbara's on the line. We're very interested, Barbara, in hearing about your countertop issue. Welcome to the show. Tell us all about what's happening at your house.
Hi, Danny. Thank you so much. Well, I noticed when I was opening up my dishwasher that on the top of the door, there was little flakes of wood. I said, And then when I opened the door, of course, everything went down. So I looked at the under part of the countertop, and it's all flaking off. It looks like it's shredded, and it just keeps coming off. And I'm like, oh, goodness, what do I put on this to keep it from falling into my dishes?
Hey, Barbara, I assume this is a plastic laminate countertop?
Yes, it is. Yeah, on the bottom is this flake board. It's a plastic top.
Right, yep.
Well, I'll tell you, this exact same thing happened to me on my very first house that I bought, and it was a post-form countertop, which was, you know, laminate, and it had the little lip that came out, had the, you know, exact same material that you're talking about, and the exact same thing that, you know, I guess opening up the dishwasher and that hot, steamy air going right up into there. I'll tell you what I did, and it worked for many, many years. Matter of fact, it's still working right now. I have that house I rent out, but still is in great shape. I basically just almost like wiped down as much as I could. I didn't do any real sanding underneath that that lip of that, but I just basically tried to get as much of it as I could off in terms of the dust and any of the bigger flakes. Mm-hmm. Then I took just some polyurethane. You know, this was done several years ago when they didn't have the water-based polyurethane, which would work perfectly well. Then I took a brush and I put about three coats. Now, this is under it where you're not going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I opened the dishwasher door and put a little some paper towels there where it wouldn't drip on it. And then I just took a brush and I went back and forth and I coated that, which basically is encapsulating that a flake board or the particle board that's there. And I never had any more problem with it. I mean, I almost waited too late because it has caused, you know, did cause a fair amount of water damage there. But after I put about three coats on that, I never had another issue with it. That may be all that you need to do on yours.
Okay. Alrighty, I will give that a try.
Any other thoughts on that, Joe? Because that is a problem that a lot of people deal with.
Yeah, I that's what I would suggest too, Barbara, is either scrape it or sand it smooth and apply several coats of, and be sure to use exterior grade polyurethane, you know, marine varnish, something like that.
Okay.
And put, you can't put too many coats on. This particle board's like a sponge, it's going to absorb most of it. If you had waited too long and a lot of the wood chips from the particle board were missing, then I would recommend filling all that with a exterior grade wood putty or a Bondo or something like that, just to get a nice, smooth, flat surface, and then applying the polyurethane. But it sounds like you probably caught it early enough that just the polyurethane. And again, as Danny suggested, three or four coats. You can't put too many coats. I'll let it dry in between coats and just keep applying it till it's not soaking up anymore. And that should, you know, prevent it from deteriorating any longer.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I will definitely try that. I was at a loss. I was like, well, should I put duct tape on it? Yeah, no, that won't work. Consider that.
The steam would take off the duct tape, too.
Exactly. Well, Barbara, thanks so much for being with us. Hope we've been able to provide you a solution for that.
Thank you so much. And Danny, we love the show. We watch you every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Get ready. We've got a lot of new shows coming up and a lot of fun we're going to have over at Chelsea's Ranch Revival that we're going to do. She is working so hard on her house, and we're going to show everybody about it. We're going to do five or six episodes over there, so stay tuned for that.
Awesome. Okay, thank you, guys. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Great talking to you, Barb, and have a great weekend. Hey, you know, if you've thought about maybe putting a fire pit in your yard, even though as we're headed into the warmer time of the year, it's still a project that you could easily do over the summer. And a fire pit's really a great addition to almost any outdoor living area, but it's an especially good fit for a paver patio because it won't overheat the surface beneath the pit, which is a big concern if you have any kind of deck. But even if heat isn't an issue, you shouldn't build a stone fire pit directly on top of an existing paver patio, because when it rains, the ashes and debris can wash right out from under the walls of the fire pit and across the patio. So what you want to do is to cut the fire pit down into the patio so that any runoff just drains right into the soil beneath it. Now, here's how you do that. First, lay out the footprint of the fire pit in the spot where you want it to be located. And most fire pit kits includes a metal ring to line the opening. Now, you can use it as a guide to position the paver blocks so you can mark the outline of your fire pit on your patio. Then you'll want to remove all of the full blocks within that space and then begin cutting any of the partial blocks you have. Now, you can rent a concrete saw, which is probably the best way to do this job. And once you replace the cut pieces, you know, you can have a fire pit that's shaped, you know, the fire pit shaped hole in your patio, and you can begin stacking the blocks for the walls of the fire pit itself. And some of these kits are amazing that, you know, some of them can go together in just a couple hours. And the great thing about this arrangement is that the tension of the surrounding pavers holds the bottom layer of the fire pit snugly in place, and then a little construction adhesive keeps all the other rows in position. In no time, your fire pit is complete and ready to enjoy. Now, this tip brought to you by Exmark, the official mowers of the backyard life. And for more great ideas and inspiration for your outdoors, visit exmark.com/backyard. A lot of great videos, a lot of great, real simple do-it-yourself ideas available there. Again, that's exmark.com/backyard. backyard. I think that's one of the things that I'll be adding to my front yard here before long. Is to not like a fire pit between me and the edge of the river there. I think that would be funny. And boy, I've got plenty of wood. I got all kinds of scrap wood all over the place.
You're going to be replacing that big metal burn barrel you've been using. As attractive as that has been, the new addition to your brand new house.
Well, someone did suggest I just bury the fire pit.
Yeah, I wonder who could have done that.
Yeah, I know. We're not going to do that. Hey, we always encourage you to send us any emails. We're going to sneak one in right now. You can send us one anytime. Today's homeowner.com/ask. This came in from Bob from Lansing, Michigan. I have an area of my ceiling that I repaired. However, I cannot figure out what type of texture this is represented in the pictures that I sent. I cannot find anything online that matches this. Ultimately, I need to repair the damaged area, but need to figure out what I need to use and how to apply the texture. It's a real challenge, though, Joe, on any time you have any kind of texture.
That's
different
right.
Areas of the country have different types of techniques that they've used over the years. What would you suggest to Bob on this one?
Well, I saw Bob's photographs, and it looked like a traditional skip trowel finish, which is the drywall contractor puts quite a bit of joint compound or plaster on his trowel, and he just very quickly and smoothly skips it across the surface so you get some texture. It's not like popcorn or it's not heavy texture. But the challenge, as Danny said, of any texture is how do you match it exactly? And I'm not really sure. But the thing to do is call in a really experienced drywall contractor who has done skip trowel finishes and just have him do his best to try to match it to the existing surface.
And make sure you have good lighting before you do anything at all, because that'll help you to really, you know, tune in on the exact swirl method that they used on that. But you'll start out by smoothing it out really well, and then just using as a little bit of trial and error. How do you like that one?
Trowel and error.
Pretty good. Wow, I'm a comedy genius, and I didn't even know it. But anyway, it can be done. Just take your time. It might take a couple times to fine tune it. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk about that giveaway from our friends at Deitch Coatings, and also share with you a very unique hose stand system that you may want at your house. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio.
Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Custom Building Products, North America's leader in flooring preparation products and tile and stone installation systems. And by Pavestone, creating beautiful landscapes.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product of the week, brought to you by the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Hardware for storing your garden hose has always been something of a utilitarian thing. You need it to be accessible and easy to use, but no one really wants to see it because usually not very attractive. Well, the Americana configurable hose stand system is about to change all that. This system includes 6 different hose hangers and 2 different style posts, with or without a spigot. You can mount your hose right on the wall. You simply just choose one of your favorite hangers and mount it, or you can store the hose away from a fence or a wall and set the post in any of the hangers that mount to it just as easily as using the keyhole slots. Now, each hanger holds up to 125 feet of standard 5/8 inch hose, and the components are made with a combination of galvanized steel and powder coated finishes, so they can really stand up to the elements. I saw videos of this recently. It is a very, very attractive way to store all of those hoses that you may be struggling with around your house. Now, your garden hose can be accessible and attractive. So for more information on this, you can head over to homedepot.com. And again, it's called Americana Configurable Hose Stand System. And pretty impressive. I'll tell you, wrestling with hoses, and you know, that's one of those things, Joe, you never want to buy a cheap hose.
Nope.
Because you'll end up fussing with that thing
and wrestling with it,
and it gets stiff and it doesn't work. Boy, but you buy a good quality hose and take care of it. But now, one thing that you don't want to do is to have it looped kind of on the ground a little bit and then run over the edge of it with your lawnmower.
Do you know somebody? Is there somebody who may have done that?
Someone that may have done
that. Someone may have done that.
So now the end of it's a little bit ragged looking, and just and you really
can't. Danny used to have a 100-foot hose. Now he has three 33-foot hoses.
Yeah, not a good thing. That was a good hose. That made me cry.
I just bought a brand new hose, and it's a 100-foot hose, and it completely overwhelmed my little hose reel rack that I had. So I may have to look into this configurable hose stand system.
Yeah.
Sounds like something I could use.
Yeah, heck yeah. Great way to go. Hey, I want to tell you about the Deitch Terrazzo giveaway. We've got another great one here to tell you about. Our friends at Deitch Coating are giving away a can of their newly revitalized Terrazzo product to 10 lucky recipients. What is it exactly? It's a decorative granite resurfacer, perfect for garage or basement floors. Also, you can use it on porches, pool decks, patios, and a whole lot more. And it's real easy just to roll on, and it gives the beauty of real granite right on your concrete. It's durable, all weather resistant, and one can will cover up to 60 square feet. So you need to check it out, and you can find it at DeitchCoatings.com. That's D-A-I-C-H Coatings.com. But first, head over to the Today's Homeowner website, todayshomeowner.com/giveaway, to enter today. But don't drag your feet. The giveaway ends on May 23rd. It's another good little project there. So we want to get to some of our emails, because we do appreciate you sending these emails in. It's a very easy way for you to reach out to us. And again, todayshomeowner.com/ask. Now, this one came in from Zen. Zen says, I watch your show on KTLA in Los Angeles, which airs once a week. I wish it was on more often. Well, thank you for that. My question is, how to convert a dual flush toilet to a single flush toilet? It's an American Standard toilet. Joe, I'm not really sure I've ever had this question. You know, a lot of the factory made dual flush toilets will have, you know, the two buttons, you know, the
liquid
one that
and
has,
solid.
Yeah, you know, that like 0.8 gallons, the other 0.6 or something along those lines. But I would think in being able to convert that to just a traditional single flush toilet, I guess the first challenge is the most the simplest thing is, where does the handle go? You know, if you don't you don't want to have to drill through the actual tank to do that, because that would be very, very dangerous. So I'm not sure. Do you think that I don't know. That's a really good question, because I don't know if one of the two buttons that are on, you know, traditionally on the lid there can be used, or would you just have to replace the tank? What do you think on that one?
Yeah, I'm not sure. When I first heard this question, I wasn't sure if I was reading it correctly, this email, or Zen didn't write it correctly, because I've never heard of anyone wanting to convert a dual flush to a single flush, because if you want a single flush, just press one of the buttons and don't press the other one, right?
Right.
You can convert from a single flush to a dual flush, and a lot of people want to do that, like to do that, and you can actually buy a dual flush mechanism for about $25 and just retrofit your existing toilet. I'm not sure what to tell them. I think you might be able to replace the dual flush mechanism on his toilet with a single flush. They probably sell, fits right into the hole, the existing hole, but instead of having two buttons, it has one. I'm not sure if you need to change any of the mechanisms inside the tank itself. But that's a little bit of a curious question. I'm a bit stumped, to tell you the truth. I'm not sure why you'd want to convert it to a single flush.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. That is a curious question. But Zen, we appreciate you watching our television show there in KTLA. We have a lot of thousands of homeowners there in the Los Angeles area watching the show each week. We appreciate it. If you'd like to find out where you can watch the Today's Homeowner television show in your neck of the woods, just go to todayshomeowner.com/local listings. Another real quick email from Bradley. What was the name of the grass seed that you mentioned for heavily traveled yard where the dogs are kind of tearing up the yard there? Do you remember us mentioning that, Joe? I think
it was Kentucky bluegrass.
Yeah, that's
typically
right.
Kentucky bluegrass and perennial ryegrass are often highlighted as the ones that hold up best to dogs running around and wearing it out. So
yeah, a lot of times,
of course, it depends on where you live. Most these two grasses, I think, grow in most regions, but you should check like in warmer climates, you'd probably want to go to a Bermuda grass, something like that.
And a lot of times on that, you know, you take a garden rake and just, you know, agitate the ground just a little bit, almost like right. little miniature rows when you pull it across there, and then go ahead and put the seed in, evenly spread the seed along that area, and then just real carefully cover that up. Now, if you have a chance then to put just a little bit of straw or hay sparsely over it to kind of keep the birds from thinking that you just put out a smorgasbord there.
That's right.
To cover that up a little bit, because it's amazing how those birds will come for miles around. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk about how you can make that storage building in your backyard last a little bit longer by just kind of taking care of that foundation just a little bit, because more and more people are putting those storage buildings in an important part of the house and their backyard for storage. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Regardless of your skill level in home repair or woodworking, you want a glue that you can trust, because a glue that doesn't work can ruin any project in a hurry. Fortunately, TiteBond has the glue you need to get the job done with confidence. From interior glues with strong initial tack and short clamp times, to exterior glues with exceptional strength and water resistance, look to TiteBond for the right glue for your next project. For more information, visit TiteBond.com or see them on Facebook.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautiful tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. No mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of. Did you know that you can transform surfaces all around your home with real stone as easily as painting? With Deitch Coatings Decorative Stone Finishes, you can renew your patio, pool deck, garage floor, and even your countertops with lasting beauty and performance. And you do it yourself. Get Deitch Coating products online through the Home Depot and DeitchCoatings.com. Start planning your next project today.
Time for Ask the Bon-Eyed Guy. I've got the answers to what's bugging you. Let's go to line two and Johnny.
Oh, hey, Bon-Eyed Guy. There are so many products out there that claim they can stop insects. So how do I find the best one?
Oh, easy. Get 8. It's better than 7.
8? I just want 1.
8 brand insect control from Bon-Eyed. It kills over 100 different insects on contact and keeps on killing and repelling them for up to 30 days.
Thanks, Bon-Eyed Guy. Guess you could say 8's got their number.
Oh, you just did. Stop insects this summer with 8 brand insect control from Bon-Eyed. Learn more at Bon-Eyed.com.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Danny Lipford here, and along with my buddy Joe Truini. We're having a lot of fun like we always do here, trying to take care of a lot of phone calls, giving away a few things, and want to encourage you to reach out to us anytime, 800-946-4444. 4420 is that today's homeowner hotline. We also got some wonderful emails this week. We appreciate each and every one of those. Today'sHomeowner.com/ask is where you can go to take care of that. Also, got some great news about our newsletter. We're getting so many people that are engaged with our newsletter and realizing that we're going to send it once a week to your email inbox, and you'll be able to see some of the most current information and very seasonal things that you need to consider around your home. And that's something that you can go to Today's Homeowner right now and todayshomeowner.com and sign up just anytime at all. Right now, we're going to go back to the phones and talk with Keith. Keith, welcome to the show, and tell us about this this new fence you have and some of the ideas you have.
Yeah, hey, Danny and Joe, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Of course.
We recently had a house built down in Gulf Shores, and the builder put us up a 6-foot wood privacy fence. And I was wondering what we need to do to make the fence last as long as possible. Do we need to put a sealer on there of some sort? And if so, what would you suggest?
Okay. How old is it? How long has the fence been installed?
It's been since December.
Okay. Well, it's probably had plenty of time to kind of etch out in the weather and so forth because, you know, you never know what kind of moisture content you have in a lot of the wood, especially treated wood, and even more so fence boards, because a lot of times they will store those outside or under partial cover. So having it up there for several months like you have now, 5 or 6 months, I'm sure it's ready for some sealer. And Keith, without a doubt, it will last a lot longer and look a lot better if you do apply some type of sealer or a stain. Now, if you like the way it looks in terms of the coloring, which I would imagine it still has a little bit of a green tint, maybe kind of a grayish look to it, and if it's a kind of aged so far fairly evenly, and if you like that color, then the way to go is just a clear sealer that you're basically just sealing it just like it is and try to maintain that same look. Do you like the way it looks, or would you prefer a little bit of color?
No, we do. I kind of like the way it looks. We kind of noticed that some of the boards were starting to darken a little bit, and that's kind of what made us think about, you know, putting a sealer on it or doing something kind of covered up. I like the way it looks now. Yeah. Love to maintain that look.
Sure. So. Well, that's what I would do. I would just use a good quality clear sealer, an exterior type of sealer that you would use on decks or fencing. And then the key thing there, now you can put it on with a sprayer. You can put it on with a roller, but it's so important on outside treated wood like that to get one of those big 4-inch brushes. It doesn't have to be a good quality one, but just back brush. It doesn't take much. You're just basically going over it after you've applied it, and that's a good thing for a second person to do. One basically applying the material, and then another one brushing it in to really back brush it and get it in those pores. Now, the other thing, I assume you share this with a neighbor, because a lot of times when you do this on one side, it'll kind of dribble around on the other side and not necessarily look that good. It's always better if the neighbor can maybe join in with you, or if they'll allow you to get on that side of the fence and go ahead and do both sides kind of at the same time. That way it locks it in. But here's an important one. Make sure that you're putting, even if you have to get a glove and a sponge, make sure you're sealing up the bottom edge of those boards, because that's where water can wick up into the wood, and that's usually where rot or damage or some of the deterioration will start first. But you want to really make sure you gob a little of that sealer on the bottom of that as well.
That's good. Yeah, thankfully we have access to both sides of the fence right now. Our neighbors don't have a fence up on their side on one side, and the other neighbor actually decided not to tie into our fence. Uh-huh. So we were able to, I'm able to get to all sides of the fence, so we plan on doing the whole thing. So.
Well, you know, very rarely do people do this, and I know as soon as I built my fence and it aged just a little bit, I put a coat of semi-transparent stain on it, and man, I'm so glad I did. I mean, it just continues to look good. It's holding up well. You'll be glad you did it, because fences aren't cheap, especially right now with these lumber prices. But
absolutely. And so is there a stain that you would recommend, Danny, to use, or just any kind of stain?
There's one that I've used a lot called Flood. It's a Flood brand product. And it's available at a lot of the different stores. I'm not sure if Home Depot has it or not, but there's it's definitely one of the better ones. And also the one at Home Depot, Behr brand, is Consumer Reports rank it very high too for their clear sealer that's used on exteriors like that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That gives me a lot of information. Look forward to getting this knocked out and hopefully having this fence last us for a long time.
There you go. That's the way to do it. That's a proactive homeowner right there. Keith, we appreciate you being on the show this week, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, Danny. You do the same.
All right, great. You know, Joe, that's one of those things on, I think when I'm thinking of that with fencing, which is a pretty sizable project, I also think about how many people, I wonder what percentage of concrete slabs or driveways in the United States have sealer on it. I bet less than 5%.
Right. Oh, probably, I would guess, might even be less than 5%. But with Keith, the most important thing is a lot of people think if it's pressure-treated wood and I don't want to stain it, then I don't have to do anything to it. But that is absolutely not correct, and it's never been correct. You always have to provide, if nothing else, a clear wood preservative once a year, even if it is pressure-treated wood.
Hey, Joe, we got a simple solution coming up. What can we expect?
You got rust on your garden tools? I'll show you a quick and easy way to remove that rust and get those tools looking good as new.
Another example of perfect timing. You're probably thinking about doing that right now out in the garden. Joe's got a great simple solution for you coming right up. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio.
Summer means longer days and sometimes longer weekends. Make the most of yours with Memorial Day savings now at the Home Depot. In-store, online, store-wide. Get grilling and saving with a 5-burner Next Grill for only $199. Regularly $249. Save on everything from mulch to mowers. Ready, set, summer. Memorial Day savings. Here now, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done while supplies last.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Spring and summer are the perfect times of the year to put a new roof on your home, so why not choose a roof that can last more than 50 years? Metal roofs are strong and durable, even in climate extremes like wildfires and hurricanes. These roofs are low maintenance and energy efficient. Plus, metal roofs come in a variety of styles and colors to fit any home. The Metal Roofing Alliance has created a buyer's guide that walks homeowners step by step through the process of buying a metal roof. You can find the buyer's guide at metalroofing.com.
Time for Ask the Bonide Guy. I've got the answers to what's bugging you. Let's go to line two and Johnny.
Oh, hey, Bonide Guy. There are so many products out there that claim they can stop insects. So how do I find the best one?
Oh, easy. Get 8. It's better than 7.
8? I just want 1.
8 brand insect control from Bonide. It kills over 100 different insects on contact and keeps on killing and repelling them for up to 30 days.
Thanks, Bonide Guy. Guess you could say 8's got their number.
Oh, you just did. Stop insects this summer with 8 brand insect control from Bonide. Learn more at Bonide.com.
Today's homeowner is brought to you by Tight Bond, the pro's advantage.
And welcome back to the show. Before we get to our simple solution, I had one other email that I wanted to answer here from Steve in Arkansas. It said, we're remodeling the family room in our 25-year-old home, and I want to replace the old electrical outlets. When I was looking at them in the home center, I saw regular outlets, I saw GFCI outlets, which are ground fault circuit interrupters, and I saw AFCI outlets. I know what GFCI outlets are needed for the wet areas, but what does the AFCI outlets do? Do I need them for the family room? Well, Steve, the short answer is yes, I would certainly recommend it. Let me tell you why. AFCI stands for arc fault circuit interrupters. An arc fault can occur in any circuit when a wire is damaged and the current will spark or arc between the conductors. Now, damaged wires can happen inside the wall where a nail or a screw accidentally accidentally penetrates a wire or in a room where maybe even a lamp cord becomes damaged and frayed. Now, that arc generates an enormous amount of heat, which, of course, can cause a fire. And about 3 out of 5 house fires where there's an electrical failure, arcing is the heat source. So, yes, replace an old outlet with an AFCI. It'll detect the arc and shut off the power to the circuit to prevent further damage and reduce the risk of fire. And if you want to learn more about these arc fault circuit interrupters, check out Leviton's website at leviton.com/AFCI. Certainly another thing you can do to keep your family safe. We always want to remind you of these kind of things here on today's Homeowner Radio. Another thing that we love sharing with you is our simple solution. Joe, what do you have for us?
All right, Danny, here's an effortless way to remove rust and corrosion from shovels, rakes, hose, trowels, any kind of garden hand tool. And here's what to do. Partially fill a bowl with white vinegar, just regular old distilled white vinegar, then plunge a cotton rag into the bowl to soak the rag, right? You want to get it. And I would use like an old towel works great, an old like terry cloth towel, something like that. So remove the sopping wet rag from the vinegar and wrap it around the rusty blade of the tool. And place the tool, then take it and wrap it in plastic just so it doesn't drip and evaporate so quickly. Seal it closed and leave it overnight. The next day, unwrap it, and then you can just use a stiff bristle nylon brush and some baking soda to scrub off the softened corrosion. Because what happens is that vinegar, which of course is acidic, will cut through and start to loosen some of that corrosion. And so you should be able to just brush it off. You can try a wire brush as well, but usually a nylon brush works. And when you're done, dry it really well and spray it with a little lubricant. And that's it. You'll be surprised how much corrosion comes off just from that white vinegar.
Oh, that's great. You know, when you get, I mean, it's always good to clean those tools as much as you can. Nobody, you know, really ever gets around to that. But, you know, you get clay that's, you know, clogged in on there. And,
right.
And I'll tell you another thing. If you have a wooden handled shovels or rakes, it's not a bad idea to take a little sandpaper and kind of sand those a little bit. So, because once they weather, they can even, you know, create some splinters that you definitely don't want. And so there's a lot of ways and perfect timing right now to take just a little time, get all those garden tools ready for all the lawn and garden work that you might be doing in the future. Hey, that pretty much wraps up the first hour of today's Homeowner Radio. It's always kind of hard to believe how fast it goes, and we always want to remind you, if you're listening to a station that doesn't carry the second hour, head over to todayshomeowner.com/radio so that you don't miss all the things we're going to be talking about in this second hour. And we'd like to remind you about our podcast. You can find out more by going to todayshomeowner.com/podcast or upload it wherever you upload your regular podcast. A lot of things going on in the podcast world. Hey, I'm Danny Lippert along with my buddy Joe Truini, and we certainly want to say thank you very much for listening to this hour of today's Homeowner Radio.
Hey, we want to hear from you at today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner Hotline anytime. 800-946-4420 or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.